Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk. Oh my God. God is so good. I mean, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for all that he's done and all that's being revealed. And I'm just grateful. I cannot tell God thank you enough. I cannot recognize everything that he has done that I'm aware of, and even the things that have been done in the heavenlies and the unseen. I am just so grateful. This is Cecilia, and welcome to Let's Talk. Be with us on today. But he's definitely with us in prayer. And I just thank God for him and thank God for Minister Sylvia, who faithfully works on the Iron Sharpening Irons with Minister Brandon on every Monday night. And I thank God for Apostle Sandra Thomas, the late Frederick, Pastor Frederick Thomas. I thank God for all of their children. I thank God for all of their grands, all of their cousins, aunts, uncles. I thank God for my parents, the late Lula and Beauty. I thank God for their siblings. I thank God for the great things that he's done and, you know, Deshaun Kaiser's life. I mean, it's just I remember when our cousin, we call him Boobop, had made it to the New Orleans Saints and stuff, and now to see how God is blessing Deshaun. I just pray that God does stuff on the miraculous in him, not only spiritually and in a relationship on that football field, on the way to the manifestation of the completeness of his destiny on and off the field, not just academically, but as a mentor. I mean, he's just got so much ahead of him, and I'm just grateful for him. And so I thank God for even healing the heart of my cousins and everyone that's dealing with the loss of my dad's sisters. I mean, I'm just so grateful for so much, for my sons, my nieces, my nephews, my great nieces and nephews. I could just go on and on. So I'm just so grateful on today for God himself, for his son, Jesus, and everything that he's done for us, and what God's Holy Spirit is doing in and through us. I'm just so glad that he did not leave us comfortless. I just have so much to be grateful for, and I am. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you that we're your sons and your daughters. We thank you, God, that you are holy and that you are righteous. We thank you, God, that you are the one and only true and living God. We thank you for your word. At the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We thank you for Jesus being the manifestation of your word. We thank you for teaching us to stand on your word, to pray your word, to know your word, to meditate on your word day and night. Thank you for teaching us to trust you, that we are your handiwork, and that our destiny is best when we left it in your hands. And as we leave it in your hands and we walk in obedience to everything that you declared and decreed concerning us, God, that we would willingly and obediently obey you, God. That we would not only be those that are blessed, but we would be a blessing. We thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not below. We thank you that our backs are overflowing. We thank you that you taught us to diligently seek. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We thank you that we know you, Father, as our protector, as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, for we know that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and that you are our refuge. You are us, and that many may fall on our left hand and our right, but you will not allow it to come nigh us. We thank you for your angels of protection that are encamped all around us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding us. We thank you for teaching us to pray in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for edifying the church. And we thank you for building us up when we pray. And we allow the Holy Ghost to breathe through us and to have his way according to your will and your word and your way, God. Teach us that although your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that we can ask you, God, to cause our will, our way, and your word to be our forward, to be our now word, to be our future word, but to be that word that is our present word today, God, right now. We thank you. We thank you that you've made and are making our enemies our footstool. We thank you that you're shutting the mouths of the naysayers. We thank you, God, that every thought, every lie, every situation, every thing that has been said, and every lie that has been told, and every thing that has been sent or tried to be sent our way to hurt and harm us, God, that you caused it to go back to that enemy, to that place that they sent it, God. But even when the man tried to come against the Jews and come against the people of God, but not only did Esther pray and she called for the congregation of the people to pray, God, not only did that miss and that thing that the enemy tried to put up for her, and even the things that tried to happen to Daniel, and even the things that tried to happen to David, God, that you caused the very people and the very situations that came against them, God, to be the very thing that destroyed them. Cause us to be people that walk in love and not walk in jealousy or covetousness. Cause us to be people that, as even you've taught us to take the higher road, to be the bigger people, that we will be the people that take the higher road. We will be the people that do the things that people would not expect, because so many times, God, pride and other things will cause us to think that we should do things to get people back, and we have the right to do things to get people back, but cause us to be people that walk in love and forgiveness, for we know that, God, you are in control, and what you allow, we allow. And God calls us to come to you and ask you, God, what shall I learn from that situation? What can I learn from that? Do I need to walk in more love? Do I need to walk in more truth? Do I need to walk in more forgiveness? Cause us, God, to ask you when these situations happen, because you allowed it, what can we learn from it so that we can be better Christians, better people, so that we can be better? Thank you for causing us to be better. Thank you for causing us to learn from our lessons, to learn from failures, to learn from errors. Cause us, God, to learn how to love our families even more and more and more each day. Cause us, God, to love you even more and more each day. God, cause us to be examples of love and forgiveness and charity. Cause us to be examples of prosperity and wealth and wisdom. Cause us, God, to be true sons and daughters that reflect your attributes of kindness, your attributes of wisdom, all of the attributes that you have purposed and destined in our lives, God. Cause them to manifest every day of our lives to your glory, God. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory for even the protection that you've placed upon the people or in our families, that you've protected us, that you've blessed us. And we thank you for what you call blessed is blessed. And since we are your handiwork and you said that it's good and Jesus said that it's finished, it is just that. It's good and it's finished. Amen and amen. Well, once again, praise God for all of you. Thank you for all of your prayers and support. Thank you for all of your words of encouragement. And even to those that may have said things that may not have been something that encouraged us, but God taught us how to learn from it. Truly, 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 truly thank God for the lessons in life that we learn from. Some lessons, excuse me, some lessons we learn so that we don't repeat that thing again. And other lessons we learn is so that God can teach us the importance of forgiveness, the importance of love. So a situation had happened where some people lied and didn't really understand the purpose of it and why. But God really, really, really blessed me when he let me know that sometimes when he allows things to happen in our lives, it's not only to take us to a new place of forgiveness and mercy, but it's to show you just how good God is. Meaning that sometimes situations and things are happening and God wants you to see that could have been you. That could have been you that was lying and cheating and doing bad things and disrespectful things to people for no reason at all. But because of the love that God has placed in your heart. The Word of God talks about man having a heart of stone versus a heart of flesh. And I am here to tell you, when the darts and the various things come your way, when the various circumstances come your way, and you still show the love of God, you still are an example of what God calls you. Let me share a quick note that I wrote on Facebook when I was just thinking out loud. I said, because of various organizations, and I'm not going to read it, you know, verbatim, because of various organizations, affiliations, degrees, and relationships on earth and with people, I've been called many names. Some of those names are profane names. Some of those names are cuss words. Some of those names have been derogatory. Some of those names have been bougie. Some of those names have been ghetto. Some of those names have been sister. Some of those names have been director. Some of those names have been soldier. Some of those names have been you're a setter or you're a guard or you're a forward based off of sports. Some of those names have been wise. Some of those names have been hurt. Some of those names have been hurtful. Some of those names have denoted a position or a situation that we may have dealt with, I may have dealt with, all being misused or abused. Some of those have been those of love, where my sisters call me sister, where my brother may call me sister, where my nieces and great nieces and nephews may have called me aunt, where my friends have called me friends, where people that I was in the military with dealing with may have called me veteran. I mean, people have called me real derogatory names, names that denote garden tools, names that denote someone that did them wrong. And I can't act like I've never done anyone wrong. I can't act like I've never did something spiteful. I can't act like I've been so perfect. But I can say, because of God, people, even when they called me Miss Goody Two-Shoes, I wasn't that. I wasn't even nowhere near Miss Goody Two Shoes. But when God calls you a name, see, God called me a believer because I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ was virgin born and that he came and he ministered and that he died on the cross and that he was the Word made flesh and that right now he ascended into heaven and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I, for me. I mean, I've been called a bond servant according to the Word of God. I've been called a brother and a sister of Christ to various people. I've been called a child of God. I've been called a child of the light. I've been called the part of a chosen race. I've been called a Christian. I've been called a disciple, an evangelist, a minister of the gospel. I've been called a fellow citizens in the heavenly realm, being that of a son and daughter, a Christian, a fellow heir. I've been called a fellow member. I've been called a fellow partaker. I've been called one of the congregation or one of the flock. I've been called an heir of God. I've been called one that's part of the holy nation, the kingdom of God. I've been called someone that's a part of the Lamb of God. I've been called someone that's a little child of God. I've been called someone that possesses the possessions of God because I'm his own possession. I've been called the redeemed. I've been called a priest. I've been called one that's a part of the royal priesthood. I've been called a sheep. I've been called a saint. I've been called God's handiwork. I've been called part of his creation. I've been called a lot of things, but the things that I covet the most are the names that God has called me. The pleasure and the honor of being called a mother. The pleasure and the honor of being called an aunt. The pleasure and the honor of being called a sister. For my sisters even to have nicknames that they've called me. For my parents to have nicknames that they've called me. I've been honored to have a family that I can be called various names. But one thing that I've learned out of all of the names that I've been called, I don't want God to call me those names that denote that I've been separated from him. I don't want God to call me those names that will cause him to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, and to cast me out. I covet the names that God would call me, that I would be grateful, that I would understand that God loves me, every particle, every follicle, every atom, every cell, every organ, every cavity, every system, my digestive system, my central nervous system, my reproductive system, my skeletal system, my musculoskeletal system, everything about me, God has given it a name. The same thing with you. Call us trusted, for we know that he's faithful and he's trusted. God can also call us to know that we know that we know that we are his. If we forget that we are his and we allow the cares in our life to be that which we focus on, we can have the audacity to forget that we're his. Something can happen on your job. Something can happen in your family. Something can happen in your household. Something can be said to hurt your feelings. But we're going to have to go back to being thick-skinned. Jesus was called a lot of things. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was lied on. He was talked about. He was misused and abused. He was misunderstood. But he still completed his destiny for mankind, to purchase us back so that we could be called the redeemed, the reconciled, the restored back unto God. He went and prayed when he lost his focus, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed until the Word of God reminds us how he prayed until he sweated and tears were likened that unto blood. They were so thick. But yet, he completed his destiny, and he's yet doing it, sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. And soon he's going to come, and he's going to reign on this earth. And don't you want to reign with him? Don't you want to worship him? For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is what he's seeking, those that worship him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Cares of this world, the bill collectors. Remember, we made the bill. Or even if we inherited the bill, the bill collectors are doing their job. That employee or that employer or that colleague that did what they did or said what they said, that family member that did what they did or said what they said, that neighbor that did what they did or said what they said, my goodness, that stranger that did what they did but said what they said, and you appear to have given it your focus instead of focusing on what did God say. In order for you to be the bigger person, you have to realize that you're God's own creation. You're God's own possession. But see, when you forget whose you are and who you are, you may focus on the fact that your, you know, socks got holes in. You may focus on the fact that you lost a couple of hair follicles. You may have focused on the fact that you need to lose 30, who knows how many pounds. You may focus on all of these things that can cause you to lose your focus from your destiny. Today and every day, you need to know that destiny is calling you. That situation, that circumstance, that person that you've been thinking about, that you've been worrying about, what has it brought you? Anything but dismay? But when you focus on God, when you focus on the Word of God, when you stand on the Word of God, brings you joy unspeakable, peace that surpasses all understanding. It gives you a love for God that will cause you to focus on how thankful you are, how grateful you are. For someone, as the songwriter said, would love to be in your shoes. Someone looks at your life, yeah, that's right, your life, and wishes that that was them. So, yes, we may look at other people's life and see, oh, they're so blessed. They've got this, they've got that. And maybe God's going to take you there, and maybe not. Maybe he needs for you to be able to abound in the base where he has you at right now. Maybe he needs you to learn how to be grateful for what you have right now. Maybe he needs you to look back and see all of the things that he's brought you from, all of the things that he's protected you from. Some of us know that the death angel came by many times, and we saw God tell him, no, don't touch him, don't touch us. We know that sickness and diseases and all types of things try to come our way. and we're still in. Because God said, I'm going to use his or her testimony to encourage someone else. Be like David. Learn how to encourage yourself. Be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And whether you're in the lion's den or something that feels like it or in the fiery furnace, you know that God is with you. He's shutting the mouth of the naysayers. He's shutting the mouth of the very enemy that was sent to try to devour you. And that God is going to use that very fiery furnace and that very lion's den to destroy, annihilate, obliterate that enemy so that so much so you will not see that enemy again. Just like he did when he closed up the enemies of God's people in the Red Sea. See, we have to understand that a lot of things that come our way is to make us better than what we already are. When that situation happens again, because it will happen again, when that lie is told, when that misunderstanding occurs, when that promotion in your life occurs and someone's jealous and someone covetous of you, when that blessing comes to make you even a bigger blessing, when that peace comes that surpasses all understanding in another situation and another situation and another situation, when you're walking around with that joy unspeakable, when that realization is that you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you're blessed in the city and blessed in the field, when all of that comes and you're able to look to God, to say, God, when I look back over all the things that you've already done and I can see where you're taking me, or even if I have to pray, God, I can't see what's on the other side. Cause me, God, to be able to see the other side of the destiny and the purpose that you've placed in my life. And God, I allow you to see, although this obstacle and this situation and this circumstance are standing and lying right in front of you, he causes you to see through them or to see around them or to see over them, to see that on the other side of all of it, where destiny is for you, it's much better than where you've already been. Somebody says, but I had this, I had that, I had gratefulness, I had this income, I had that income. Some of you are going to have even more than that, just like Job. But you've got to be able to say that God, although I'm walking through the valley, and although I can't see over the mountain, and although I can't understand what's going on, God, I will yet trust you, God. I will trust you in the valley. Hallelujah. I will trust you as I'm going over the mountain. Trust you as I leap over these obstacles. I will trust you as I'm going for the 100-yard dash. God, I will trust you as I sprint to the next situation. God, I will trust you as I walk or run this marathon. God, I will trust you no matter what man may say, no matter what the situation may seem like. But God, I will trust you and you alone. For when we really trust God, we know that there are some things that we ourselves got to do. We won't be sitting over here being unrealistic, expecting God to do everything. Some of us got to go back to school. Some of us have to go back for additional training. Some of us have to come back and say, I forgive you. Some of us have to even say, I forgive you for the person that did us wrong, because God is teaching us how to be the bigger person,
how to be a true son and daughter of the Most High God? Do you understand that when Jesus went to the cross, he was being the bigger person? He was being bigger than the mocking. He was being bigger than the being spit upon. He was being bigger than the being lied on. He was being bigger than being misunderstood. He was being bigger than what the enemy thought that he was going to do by thinking that he could even have the audacity to think that he could destroy or annihilate or change the very destiny of Jesus. On today, what's that thing that's coming to your life to try to make you doubt what God has already declared and decreed in your life? What's that thinking that is bigger than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on today? Well, God told me to stop by today to tell you and me. Because remember, those that are given the message are the first partakers of the message. That there's no person, there's no situation, there's no affiliation, there's no organization, there's nothing greater than what God has already said. Why? Because he is God. So when you realize that you're the little king, when it says king of kings, that little one is you. That because he is the king, so you have to know that he's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. When you realize that you are one of those people that he's given charge to, so that you can be that believer that he's caused you to be, so that you can be that child of the light that he's called you to be, can be that holy nation that he's called you to be, so that you can be the priest that he's called you to be, so that you can be the heir of God like he's called you to be. I'll say it again, so that you can be the heir of God that he's called you to be, so that you can be the royal priesthood, so you can remember that you're the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that you can believe and know that you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt, you are the called of God. And no matter what title that God honors you to be called on this earth and in this world, whether he allows you to become a doctor or a lawyer or an entrepreneur, or the president of the United States, or the president of this company or that company, or whether he calls you to be a supervisor, or whether he calls you to be one of the people of the team, no matter what he allows you to be, know that on this side of heaven, the things that he allows you to be are nothing in comparison to the greatness that you have to look forward to with reigning with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, I'm not going to act, we don't want to have things on this side of heaven. And the reality of it is that we can have it. But let's make sure that those things don't have us. Let's make sure that we're not being people that are bringing shame to God instead of those that are bringing honor to God. Let's look in the mirror and make sure that our mirror is truly a mirror and not a window. Because when many people look in the mirror, if they're not seeing themselves, it's because their mirror is a window. If you're seeing what everybody else has done, what everybody else has said, and how they this and that and whatever, then go back to the mirror of the Word of God. Go back to the mirror of understanding what God is saying to you and you alone. Many times we hear a message and we say, so-and-so needed to hear this message. That message is for them. That may be true. but don't worry about the message being for them. What is God saying to you? God wants to say through you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a destiny with your name on it. I didn't say your son. I didn't say your daughter. I didn't say your sister or your brother, your mother or your father. God has a destiny and a purpose for you to fulfill. On today, I pray that you will go to God and ask him once again on the other side of the obstacles, on the other side of the situations, on the other side of the heartbreak, on the other side of the upset, on the other side of the disappointment. There's a destiny that's going to wash out and wash away all of that. Why? Because even in the Bible, it tells us that soon God's going to wipe away all of the tears. He's going to wipe away all of the sorrow. Don't you know that he can wipe away some of your hurt, some of your sorrow and your tears, some of your disappointments on this side? When you walk in forgiveness, when you walk in mercy, when you walk in love, and you decide, not only do I want to be blessed, but I want to be a blessing. Not only do I want to receive, I want to give. Not only do I want to be loved, but I want to be a lover. And I'm not talking about how the world calls us a lover, but how God calls us a lover. God is love. He is a lover. That's the definition of love that I'm talking about. So what is it that you have before God? What is it that you're not quite sure of? What is that area of misunderstanding or clarity in you? Ask God to not only give you the clarity, ask God to show you how to have a heart for his destiny and his purpose that's bigger than any and everything on this earth. Destiny is calling. Purpose is calling you on today. God is calling you on today. God is calling us on today to realize that we serve a great God that has taken us today to a new place, a new level in him of greatness, so that those situations and those circumstances that try to keep our focus to that little place that they belong, they're little speckles, they're little tiny things that we could hardly see that try to make us think that they were mountains or things bigger than earth itself. But the God that we serve has placed those things, just like the enemy, the adversary of our souls, underneath our feet. That's right. On today, you're sitting at the table. Table is spread. And the very situations and people and circumstances that try to destroy you or discourage you or do you wrong, they're now bringing the gifts before you, and they now need you. They need you to love them. They need you to forgive them. They need you to pray for them. They need you to help them. They need you to aid them, not because of being vindictive, not because of you being so right, but because of the righteousness of God, that he said that he would have a table placed before you Y'all are just sitting at the table. God wants you to be gracious. He wants you to be forgiving, loving, and kind, just as Jesus was when he was nailed to the cross and beaten and spitting for you and I, and that the very people and sins that we committed that he died for and is now making intercession for, he is an example of forgiveness. He's an example of love. And yet, the enemy of our soul wants us to miss the lesson. And Jesus Christ is love, and Jesus Christ is forgiveness. And he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yep, the enemy tried to develop and detour and destroy and annihilate and pervert his destiny. But Jesus' new destiny is calling him. So if you haven't heard anything else on today, answer the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. And if you don't know what it is, after I allow the people on the line to make comments, I'm going to pray with you that God would bring it to you with all clarity and understanding, and that you would realize that it's bigger than anything you could ever fathom or believe or imagine in your heart. And I thank God for the word on today, because I'm truly, truly, truly blessed. So I'm opening up the lines for anyone that would like to say anything. So the lines are open. Okay. With that, if no one wants to say anything, I'm going to pray for the destiny of God in our lives. So on today, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that are listening right now, and that the people that will listen to the archives. For God, we know that the destiny and the purpose that you have in our lives is bigger than us. It's bigger than this whole world, because it's all about you closing the mouths of the naysayers. We thank you for giving us a heart to want your destiny and your purpose in our lives to be revealed. We thank you, God, that you've caused us to be a blessing and to be those that are charitable and those that are willing and obedient, so that we can eat the good of the land, the things that you've given us. We thank you that we're blessed, that the city, we're blessed in the field, we're the head and not the tail, we're above and not beneath. We thank you that you have placed your angels encamped all around us. Well, not only when people see us, they call us blessed, that we're walking in your wisdom, we're speaking your wisdom, we know your wisdom, and we live in and through and thereby your wisdom. We thank you that you're causing us to keep our eyes on the purpose and destiny that you've revealed to us and that you're yet revealing to us. Cause us, God, to know that the enemy of our souls would love to abort, pervert, detour, or devour our destiny and purpose that you've given us. But, God, we surrender it all to you, and we ask you, God, do not let the enemy devour, detour, or annihilate or destroy our destiny and purpose, whether we would be willingly allowing it, God, or he would be trying to get us off purpose and he would be trying to cause us to lose our focus. Examine our hearts, God, and if you find anything wicked in it, God, we ask you to obliterate it, destroy it, annihilate it. Cause us, God, to not only yield and surrender and submit to the purpose and destiny that you've had for us, but that we would even be those that would help others to attain their destiny and purpose that you've given them. Have your way in our lives. God, be God in our lives. We thank you for everything that has happened in our lives and that we are learning from it daily. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for the protection. We thank you for the many things that you're doing in our lives, in our family lives, on our jobs. We even thank you for every door that has been shut and every door that has been opened. But no man can open a door that you've shut, and no man can shut a door that you've opened. We thank you that we're standing under the windows of heaven and that you're pouring out so many blessings that we won't have room enough to receive. But we ask you for wisdom on what to do with the many blessings that you're giving us, the promotions, the raises, the new jobs, the new positions, the new friends, the new anointing, the new wisdom, and the revelations of our purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So don't forget about tomorrow. I am sharpening iron with Minister Kaiser and Minister Sylvia Kaiser. So that's Brandon and Sylvia. We thank you for Minister Sheila, who faithfully calls in to support and speak life to the very ministry gifts and the very ministry offerings. We thank you for all that you're doing in every leader's life. We thank you for all that you're doing on our jobs. We thank you that you're teaching us how to be entrepreneurs so that we are those that are giving people jobs. We thank you for giving us favor, perpetual, eternal, everlasting favor for everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So once again, we thank you for calling in. We thank you for your prayers and support. And don't forget, even on Friday nights when our own Elder Kathy Kendall is able to do God Still Heals, make sure you call in and support her. And see you on tomorrow night. And I love you with the love of God. But destiny not only is calling, it's here. So walk it out. In Jesus' name, bye-bye. Don't forget our foundational scripture, St. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bye-bye.